Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. Why don't you stand with us as we prepare our hearts to worship this morning? I'll pray for us and we can get started. Lord, thank you that we can come to this place and worship you this morning. We ask for your presence and we invite you here. And we pray you'd fill this place with your Holy Spirit and speak to our hearts this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, holy you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down. And let our shout be your anthem, your renown. Fill the sky, we are here for you. We are here for you. And let your word move in power. And let what's dead come to life. We are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden, you are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy, God, let your fire fall down. To you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You alone are holy, holy you are worthy, God, let your fire fall down. Let your fire fall down. And we welcome you with praise, we welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Peace that passes.
Peace that passes my understanding. Love that conquers my fear and regret. Joy unending, eternal pleasure, it's in your presence, my risen King. And I will seek first your kingdom. I will seek first your righteousness, and everything I need you will provide for me. My heart is to seek first your kingdom. Peace surpasses my understanding. Love that conquers my fear and regret. And there's joy unending, eternal pleasure. It's in your presence, my risen King. And I will seek first your kingdom. I will seek first your righteousness, and everything I need you will provide for me. My heart is to seek first your kingdom. Oh, you.
Because of you that we have the breath in our lungs. We want to use the Lord to praise you this morning. As we continue in worship, we just pray that you give us hearts to worship you, Lord. May you be the reason that we worship, God.
And in the morning, when I arise, in the morning, when I arise, in the morning, when I arise, give me Jesus. In the morning, when I arise, in the morning, when I arise, in the morning, when I arise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you can have all this world. Give me Jesus. When I am alone,
ask for your blessing upon the teaching. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before you guys sit down, why don't you take a couple minutes and just greet the people around you.
Good morning, everybody. It's so neat to see all of you here today. I have just a few announcements that I'd like to make before we get started. We have been announcing that Joe Ford, the head of our media out here, is going to be teaching Living by the Book, and it is learning how to study God's Word. Now, I stepped out by faith this week because I found the books at a really, really nice discount. And so we can do this study for $8.50 a book. And so yours won't be hardcover like mine. My wife spoiled me. But yet, and I do have them, six of them here. We just need to know how many above six that will want books that will be here. And the study will be on Sunday afternoons right after church. You can brown bag it. Joe will probably run down to Subway and get something, knowing him. But anyways, and it'll be here in the auditorium. And, you know, we're just looking forward to a good thing. And as I've told you before, Principles of Bible Study really revolutionized Diane's and my walk with God and with each other. As we began to learn how to approach this beautiful love letter that God gave us, it just changed, and transformation from within became more evident. So we need a commitment today. I've been asking you the last couple of weeks to be praying about it. So you really need to run to Joe right after the service so he can keep count. He can, if he has to take off his shoes, to count on his feet, amen. And then the first come serve to get six from Dela. Dela has the form for you to sign up, as well as she will take your money if you have it today, and be able to do that. Also, the ladies study did not start this past week because of the weather. If you would still like to join, you can, but you need your own book. In other words, you need to buy it someplace to be able to come alongside. So just get with Christine and find out what the book is if you still want to join. I think we had 16 to 18 already, right, Chris? Signed up already. So it's going to be a wonderful study, and we're already praying about what's going to happen next. After that, you'll take a small break, and then we'll do another study. So, but we're excited about who has signed up and how many of you signed up for the armor of God. And by the way, that'll be a prelude to something I'll teach on later on, because it's found in the book of Ephesians. For those who need to know, the book that we're going to be teaching after this one will be the book of James. All right, so all of you can also be reading ahead and looking at the book of James. Book of James is one of those New Testament practical books, kind of like the book of Proverbs. You know, everything in it is just practical life, how you live life, and how God has his expectations on us, and so it's going to be something super. I understand that the men's breakfast went great yesterday. I have family in town, so I took the Saturday morning off. But Scott did a great job, and I understand they kept you hopping with the questions, which is good. If you do that all the time, I'll let him teach all the time. But that's good. Our next breakfast will be on the 10th. And that day, just for those of you who are kind of carpenterishes, we're going to finish the inside of the building right after the men's breakfast. So be thinking ahead whether or not you could be a part of that. And naturally, we know we can't fit 10 guys in it. It won't work. But three or four of you working together, knowing what you're doing, would be a positive thing, to put the shelves and things like that to finish it. And for me to have a list of what you need to finish it so I can go buy it before we get there. But also, youth tonight, and I understand there's plenty of food. So call your friends, be here at 5, you'll have a meal and everything else, and lots of fun for 6th grade on up. Please, please come and have a great time. And I understand on March 11th, it's going to be a great time because you're going to be up in Callahan at some place where you can play a lot of games and things like that. So you're going to be there in the afternoon for a pizza party and everything else. So they're spoiling you already. So be sure to send your teens and be a part of that. But just an excellent time. We always need volunteers, and we always need volunteers for everything. So if God would lead you, and thank you, would love to be a part of that, please, please, please do that. I believe we also have a baby dedication in the future. Someone has called to sign up for that, and so we're looking forward to that. And last but not least, remember our Good Friday service will be Good Friday, naturally, 6:30 here, as well as Easter services, and we're doing two services this year, and so they're going to be 9 and 11. So you have to come a little bit earlier if you want to come to the early one to go home and get ready for your family activities, or if you still want to sleep in, 11 o'clock is yours. And so just to have a good time. Remember, in 2 weeks, you change your clocks. 2 weeks. Yeah, it's going to happen already. And you move them ahead. So we will be here on time. And if you show up at 10:30, bless you. But I hope you enjoyed your sleep. But just 2 weeks, 2 weeks. So anyways, Lord bless you. When you think of the transition, when you think of character, what comes to your heart and mind? Character. And I'm not talking about he's a real character. Pastor Rich, what a character. I'm thinking of character. What comes to your... All right, reliability. Somebody that's reliable. We had a saying in our home when the children began growing up once I got saved and things like that. And my daughter actually used it as a theme for her valedictorian speech, and it was, a promise is a promise. You know, reliability. Trying to keep our word the best we could. Pardon?
Honesty.
Yeah. Yeah, trustworthiness. All of those kinds of things. Glenda?
Integrity.
Ah, you just named the character trait for this week. You know, we're looking at true identity. And if you and I are truly children of God, we are going to be people of integrity. I'm mindful of the book by James Creams. He did Tender Loving Heart, and within the book, he did a story of an athlete. Now, many of you know I enjoy athletics, and if I use the name, he chose to be anonymous in the book. I think now, today, he would probably have his name revealed to everybody, so I'm not going to reveal the name. But it was anonymous, and this young man was a brilliant wide receiver. He knew how to run patterns, even though he's a little bit smaller, and he was a Christian man. And when he went off to college, and he went to a Division II school, not a Division I, but he wanted to maintain his Christian integrity. He wanted to maintain that thing of excellence, and he would just challenge himself practice after practice. Christ, I want to emulate you. I want people to see you and me. And in everything he did, he wanted to maintain that. Their arch rival came into town, and naturally, you know, that's homecoming and all of those kinds of things. His senior year, they were having a great year. It looked like if they beat this team, they would be in the playoff system for the Division II at that time. And so they're marching down the field. They are behind by 4 points, and so they had to have a touchdown. And on the very last play of the game, his number was called, and the quarterback took the ball, rolled out, threw the pass, which was a little low, and in the end zone, the wide receiver dove for it, and he heard the referee behind him go, touchdown! You know, now, naturally, being a home game and everything, the crowd went berserker, you know, and crazy and excited. But this young man knew he had not caught the ball, that he had just trapped it between his body and the ground, and when he rolled over, he was holding on to it, so it looked like a catch. And he got up, and he immediately ran to the official in front of him and said, "Sir, I did not catch the ball. I trapped it." And that official walked over and blew off the touchdown. Can you imagine what the crowd thought? The poor official. But yet his teammates knew that he was the one that ran to the official. And his teammates said, "It is just blank being blank, using his name." He went on to a brilliant pro career, a wonderful pro career. He even tried it in the pros a couple of times. "Mr. Official, I did not catch the ball." And there he was greeted with, "What I called, I called." Though he remained and kept his integrity. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 as we look at integrity, our identity of integrity. Our Father and our God, we thank you again so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word. And Lord, as we march forward in this beautiful little epistle, Lord, I pray that it would just fall fresh on our hearts in a profound way, making a radical difference for your glory and your glory alone. Lord, I pray that you would just do a special work of meeting every need in our hearts and lives, and that you would be glorified and continue to be glorified here in this place. Thank you again for all that you've given us in Christ our Lord. Amen. True identity, real character, real integrity. Wanting that character that really magnifies who we are. We've been moving up to this point, and this becomes a focal point of the whole of the book. And if you will, it becomes this brilliant crescendo, because it reveals that if you and I truly desire to walk in the equipping of what God gives us, that we would walk worthy of our calling as a child of God. So notice here in the first six verses, as we consider our character as being an esteemed character, a character that really stands out. We are to be Christ's representative. Notice verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you." Now that is a real intentional word of him saying, "Listen, I beg of you with every fiber of my being for you to walk this way, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Now, within the body of Christ, each and every one of us have a calling. Now, our first calling is to be called into the body of Christ, to be a child of God. That is our calling. We are a part of the body of Christ. We started in the beginning of the book, and it said you and I are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Once we trust Christ as Savior, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. And we're learning what those things are. And today we're going to see how it starts building to where it's a individual blessing as well as a corporate body of believers blessing as the bride of Christ. And so he wants us to have that esteemed character. He says, "I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called." And again, that word walk, it guess what? It's a verb. It's a moving forward in life. You and I are called to do that. You know, here at Ellicott, you and I have, and if you've been here since the beginning, you have seen that we've been doing a little at a time, not only with the building physical plant, but with the ministries in which we do what we do. You know, it took us a time before we started our men's study, a time before we started our women study, a little time before we started our youth study. Guess what? In May, the first week of May, we're going to start another new ministry here. And I think it's so cool. And we are going to be having a Spanish teaching Bible study here. All in Spanish to minister to the Spanish community around us. And I think that is so wonderful. That'll take place in the middle of the week. We're going to announce it. We're going to PR it. But we're going to do it. Walk worthy through an understanding of God's word. That's why Calvary Chapels are committed to verse-by-verse teaching, so that we can get a real understanding of what it is, what it's saying, so that it can take fruition in our hearts, so that we can be transformed from the inside out. You, if you are in Christ, you have a calling to represent Christ. I have a calling to represent Christ. As the most basic calling that there is out there for the child of God, that is what a Christian is. All of us are to be ambassadors of Christ in a profound way, to where people see us and they hear us and they listen to us, that our life matches up with our words, and they kind of go, "You're weird. You're different. You remain steadfast in spite of," yeah, it's because of who I am in Christ and who Christ is in me. And that's what he's calling this esteemed character, which would be a worthy walk. Look at verse 2 with me. With all lowliness and gentleness, with all longsuffering, bearing with one another in love. And that word love is agape, the love of God. So it starts with humility. You and I cannot love rightly if we don't have a humble spirit. Boy, in America, humility isn't much pronounced. You know, I'm just, my perception, you know. Unfortunately, the thought is more along the line of arrogance and rudeness rather than, and you and I are to have this humbleness that comes across gently, caring. Literally, it becomes compassion because of the love of God that we've received. And now we can bear one another's burdens, knowing we're going to fail each other, learning how to forgive each other, and learning how Christ wants to use us for his glory, bearing with one another in love. Lowliness is not a bad thing. I remember, and I believe when I did Colossians, I used this illustration because it's such a profound illustration, and so you're going to hear it a second time. How many of you remember Willie Shoemaker, the jockey? All right. He was on a 60 Minutes interview, he and his wife, and he was already retired and now being ushered into the Jockey Hall of Fame. At that time, before Stevie Cawthon came along, he had won the most races ever for a jockey, and won more Triple Crown races than ever, than any other jockey. And so they asked him, how come you get to ride the winner? And he laughed. And he says, you know, in any given horse race, there are four or five horses that have the potential of winning that race. And here are his words. I'll never forget them. I have just had the joy of riding the most humble horse of those five. And the author goes, what do you mean, humble? It's their strength. It's their stride. It's their, yeah. He says, yeah, it's all that. But if the horse wants to have a proud moment and not follow my leading, guess what? I lose the race. And I never thought of that thought of humility, that kind of power under control. And that's what God's talking about. We have the power of the Holy Spirit within, and yet it's supposed to be under control, truly, in all loneliness and humility. That builds this esteemed character that is full of integrity, that reveals, and it's the only way we're going to love each other rightly. Verse 3, endeavoring. In other words, another verb that says we are going to make this a goal in our lives to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Yeah, we've been talking about in the past few weeks about how Christ says now, all right, you Gentiles, you're saved by grace through faith. Guess what, you Jews? Yeah, it's not the law anymore. You're saved by grace through faith in Christ. Your repentance and trust in Christ now brings you together, and you are one body together. It's the same as for us here in Ellicott. You know, whether we're farmer, engineer, it doesn't matter. We are to be one in Christ because of who he is in us. And the wonder of all of that. And to come alongside, and he says, endeavoring, that is going to be the goal of us in through the Spirit and through to bring about this bond of peace, having this right goal in mind, wanting it to be very real. And then he hits this crescendo. Because I want you to understand, verse 4 through 6, there is but one body, the body of Christ. There is but one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that resides within. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, salvation. There is one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all people said, amen. One faith in him alone. One baptism, the baptism into the body of Christ through the Spirit of God. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You know, it's a crescendo. It is a blanket statement. You know, this is God's word, and this was God says. And so for you and I to live it and to allow it to be the focal point of why we are a Christian and how we live life is so key. Our society would like us to believe, well, it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe it sincerely. And I think they've even eliminated that last word. It doesn't matter what you believe. And you're going to be okay with God. And that is so contrary to his love and grace and the reality of why Christ came, why God sent his Son, and the power and the truth of all that Christ accomplished on the cross for you and me, and through the resurrection from the dead and being that first fruit from the grave, so that you and I could be a part of some living entity that ought to rock our socks and blow our minds in the fact that God would want us to be a part of it. I don't know about you, but there are times I think, gosh, I'm not worthy of any of this. But yet, through all that you've given me, through the grace that you have bestowed, the reality of what you have done, and by allowing me to enter into that through salvation, I now have. And it's because you are one. You know, the thought of a triune Godhead still kind of, I can't wrap my brain around it. You know, I know we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I know they are one. Why? This book tells me so. You know, and yet I know they're three. I'm happy because they do different functions in my life. But yet the reality is they're one. They're God. It's God. And he loves us this much. You know, like, give me Jesus. And what the author did is wonderful. But you know, at the end when it says, Lord, when I die, I want my last statement to be, I meet Jesus. Don't give me him. He's already given him to me, but I want to meet him. You know, God's word says, absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, Lord, when I die, I meet Jesus. That's a profound, wonderful hope and joy. Yeah. And the older I get, the more I understand that. You know, I'm not 25 and invincible anymore. My mind wants to tell me I'm still 25 and invincible. Dumb guy. You know, I can't do the things I used to. But esteemed character, real integrity, all of those things ought to be ours because we are Christ's representative. Paul says, oh, how I beseech you, please With every fiber of my being, I encourage you. And I want you to know, with every fiber of my being, I encourage you. Please, please have this esteemed character. Pursue it. Passionately allow it to be that which transforms you from inside and out, learning what long-suffering is. And my wife can tell you I had no clue what that word meant. I'm at school, and I went to school, married 35 with four kids, and our community celebrated its 125th anniversary of existence. And so our school put in a float, and they chose to put in a float with the fruit of the Spirit, representing the fruit of the Spirit, which has the word long-suffering. I get to work on Monday, and I have guys that live in the community, and they're coming to me and saying, what's long-suffering? And a couple of them I looked at, something you have no clue about, buddy. You know, but here it is, and it's something I had no clue about. How do I develop that godly patience, that flexibility to be able to bear with others in love? That takes a radical transformation and work of the power of Spirit, of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's what God calls us to. Rather than being abrupt, shut them down right now, forget it kind of mentality. Esteemed. Notice how it continues on, not only as Christ's representative, but looking at Christ's finished work, because now we really see that we, you and I, if he's going to beseech us, you and I need to be eager to plunge headfirst into this. He says, but to each one of us, he now includes everybody within the body of Christ, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, we're going to get into a few of the gifts. Now, what the gifts are here in Ephesians 4, I call them leadership gifts. You know, if you want to know other gifts, go to Romans chapter 12, starting about verse 4 and following, and you will have other spiritual gifts that God gives. Also, those are, to me, the motivational gifts. Those are my terms, not any book I've read. And then when you get to 1 Corinthians 12, you have the gifts that are those dynamic gifts that are supposed to be used in the thought of revealing who Christ is. They're the power gifts, the miracle gifts that reveal things and meant to be used to draw others to Christ as well as. Now, some of you have probably been taught cessation of gifts. We at Rocky Mountain don't agree with that. We agree with that the gifts are still valid and real today under the control of the Holy Spirit, not to the extreme, you know. And so this might be new for you. But as you study this portion, I want you to know this truth. As a pastor, then, a pastor becomes a spiritual gift to the body of Christ. Didn't know that, did you? Yeah. And my wife probably looked at me and said, "You're never a gift to anything, you know." But you know, but now as a pastor, God's design to bring it about. And all of you, if you are in Christ, through the faith that he has given you, you have a spiritual gift. At least one. When I go to the book of Romans, I believe that God has given me something I didn't have before salvation, and that's gift of mercy. Never knew what it meant in my life to carry out, but now in Christ, it is a gift that God's given me, let alone the pastor-teacher part of it. Grace. The question is, are you and I going to be committed and eager to enter into this because of the grace that God has given me? I know for a period of time in my walk of faith that I was fearful to walk forward in the body of Christ within the grace that had been given me. Notice how it continues on. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, that's a quote from Psalm 68:18. If your Bible doesn't have that cross-reference and you're taking notes, please write down Psalm 68:18. And then if you add to that Numbers 18:6, because Numbers 18:6 declares where God tells the children of Israel, guess what? I gave the Levitical priesthood as a gift to you. Now, he uses the old battle analogy where you go off to war, you defeat the enemy, you take the spoils, you come back, and you hand the spoils out. Christ defeated the grave. You know, and in his grace, he has come back from that battle and he gives gifts for you and I to be empowered to be able to reveal him and to be used more effectively for his glory. Verse 9, now this, he ascended, what does it mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He also descended and is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. What does that mean? He went into the grave. Yes. Did he visit hell? Yes. He revealed to them that I am the Savior of the world. They did not get a second chance. He was proving his power over Satan and death. He just visited for a second and then ascended up into heaven. And there, where there is an altar, he did sprinkle his blood for you and I. So you and I could receive the forgiveness of sins. The atonement is finished. When he does that, God says, yes, it is done. I personally, this is my opinion, all right? You'll have scholars out there who probably disagree with me. I believe this was actually done when he was on the cross during those 3 hours of darkness where he did that. Went and visited hell, sprinkled his blood so that at the end Christ could declare it is finished. Which, by the way, is just one single Greek word. It's amazing what you and I have in Christ. And so whether it happened that way or differently, it doesn't matter. It's just the reality. He did it. He did it to really bring about God's glory and to fulfill the will of the Father and bring glory to the Father so that, and are we eagerly pursuing that? Verse 11, and he himself, Christ, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Now, in the widest term, let's talk about apostles first. And let's talk about the narrowest term first. Narrowest term, the word apostle meant for somebody who actually met Christ and was called to be an apostle. That's the narrowest term. In the broadest term, it's also a word that declares someone who is sent forth. Now, not every missionary is called, you can call an apostle or has a gift of apostleship. It is meant for a specific thing, to plant a church. A church planter. And somebody who does it again and again. I know of a pastor in the Central African Republic who God has used over the course of 40 years to plant 7 churches. He planted it in an area, and a bunch of tribes came and villages, and a church was established, raised up, local man to take the pulpit and everything, and then came home, got refreshed, and then he and Gay went out again. His dad was a lifetime missionary in the Central African Republic. Charlie and Gay have gone through more things than I think probably I could. He has been a motorbike is his easiest way of travel. He has been knocked off his motorbike and mugged and beaten at least 3 times that I know of to be put in the hospital. He came home one time and his daughter, was still at home. And there in the middle of their living room was his wife and daughter and all tied up in chairs and the whole house emptied. Fortunately, they were not harmed, but they had been there for 3 days. And yet he's called to do this. There have been revolutions around him, and they've been escorted out numerous times and had to run in the midst of the thing, but he's called to it. And to me, that's the broad sense of an apostle, planting churches, sent forth. That's what the word means. In the specific, Paul was an apostle in both senses. He was an apostle because he saw Christ on the road to Damascus, and guess what he did? He went, planted a church here, he went, planted a church there, passed it off to someone, raise up an elder here, an elder there, That's what he was. A prophet. A prophet is somebody who proclaims God's word. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, that becomes should become the desired gift rather than all the other showy gifts. I want you to know that there are schools out there today who want to teach you a gift. It doesn't work there. You got it from God or you didn't. That's the bottom line. You either got it or you didn't. I want you to know I never asked for the gift of pastor teacher. God gave it to me. It took me a while to wrap my head around it. It took me a while to wrap my heart around it. That this is what God had equipped me to do. Therefore, I better get some training and start doing it for his glory. You have spiritual gifts. Use them. Step out, venture out, start doing something and see what, eagerly look for them. The third one there is evangelist, and one of the greatest evangelists of our time went home to be with the Lord just this past week and a half ago. Billy Graham. That was his life calling, and we cannot deny it. Everywhere he went, the message remained the same. I have met numerous people who have gotten saved at a Billy Graham crusade or two that I know of because they watched Billy Graham at a crusade on TV and got saved through the televised portion of it. He's an evangelist. Woo-hoo! I am not an evangelist. I like teaching and preaching the gospel and sharing it, but I don't consider myself, he's an evangelist. Yeah, I remember reading of D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday. I am preference to Billy Sunday. Now, how many of you have ever heard of Billy Sunday? Hey, whoa, he used to be a ball player. Just so you know, he couldn't speak good English either. Yay! and the wonder, but God used him immensely during the temp ministries around. Wow, he was an evangelist sharing the gospel of Christ. And he eagerly, he gave up the baseball career to follow what God had designed him to do. And some pastors, shepherds, and teachers. Yeah, the ones who come alongside within a flock to shepherd. I often think of the different verses of Scripture that spring to mind being an example to the flock of God, and I yearn to do that, and I know I'm not going to be perfect in it, but I'm eager to do that. True spiritual leadership has been given to now. Why? Why has God done this? Why has God equipped some to be? The very next verse tells us. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Christ's purpose in giving the gifts, then, is to have an effective, unified body of believers. An effective, unified body of believers. Your spiritual gifts, my spiritual gifts, are supposed to connect us in a wonderful way. To be that, which he'll describe shortly, really joined together. Unified. Yeah. Sometimes that's a scary thought, being connected to the body of Christ. Being effective within that. I could never be a Brent. Get up there, play a guitar, and sing, not me, not now, not ever. Maybe when I get to heaven, I hope. You know? I really want to play drums, though, just so you know. Just how eagerly do we, as a Christian, pursue? I beseech you so that you can be effective. That means you got to be teachable. I had a professor. He was part of the chaplain service in the Army. He got called off in the 80s and down in Central America. Uruguay? Is that it?
Nicaragua.
Yeah. He got called off to Nicaragua. And so we all of a sudden didn't have a professor because he was activated as a chaplain to go to Nicaragua and when all those skirmishes and everything were going on there. And so our church, our school president took over the next month of classes. And I'll never forget the first month of classes. He walks in, and by now I know I'm to be a pastor, and I'm in a pastoral ministries mode. And he says, guys, when you get in the church, look for some fat Christians. And I go, what? I'm still a little slow. And he was using it as an anagram. Faithful, available, and teachable. If you and I want to be equipped, that's what we have to be. That's what we have to be. You know, why are we giving Bible studies? Not just so you can just grow this cranium in Christianese, so that God can use you more effectively for his glory, so that you can be transformed from the inside out. So that God, as he works in your life, you're going to do some things like you're going to sit back and go, wow, I did that, or God, you used me to do that. Zowie, I can't believe it, but it's true, it happened. Give you an illustration. I got a phone call within the first month of being an interim pastor, and by the way, that interim pastor, it lasted for 9.5 years. I became their pastor, but I started out as the interim, and I got a phone call. Hey, you don't know me, but I'm in your church. And I go, okay, hi, I'm a nurse. And I go, yeah, okay, hi, how are you? And I just had a boy that died here, and the family has nobody. Will you come? And I want you to know it's a special needs boy. He's 31, and he probably had a 4 or 5 year old mentality. And the family has nobody. And I go, okay. In my pastoral Christianese, I said, I'll have to pray about that. Now, that was in the day of landlines, no cell phones. And my phone got away from my ear about this far, and it was like, hey, Rich, what have I called you to be? I go, oh, man. You know, began dialing. She began laughing. Man, that's the fastest prayer I've ever had, you know. But fast forward. His dad is the president of the ARC in all of New York, representing all of the retarded children in Albany, consistently, constantly seeking the funding to be able to allow them to be used to the best of their ability. And I'm sitting there going, and you have no one? I'm sitting there hearing their story, and I'm crushed. And here they're wonderful believers as mom and dad. And I go, gosh, I'm honored to do Georgie's funeral. Mario Cuomo's governor, he could not make it. What does he do? He sends his two sons. One's now CNN, and one's now a governor. And so as I shared the truth in the gospel, there in that place, that day at the funeral of this special needs boy, who did God bring? I want you to know, only God. I got up there and I swallowed hard. And I go, I can't do this. Yeah, but you can through me. I'm going to give up. And I'm going to share the truth in love. Whew. Only God. And so I know those two men have heard the gospel. I know they've heard it clearly and truly. Only God. And afterwards, I come home and I tell my wife and I go, you wouldn't believe who was there. Let alone dignitaries from legislators that love this man and his work for. Only God. Here in the Colorado Springs area, one of our tragedies of a shaken baby death. Who do they call? They call RMC. Who does RMC call on? Me. I go to the funeral, and it's two gangs, two rival gangs. There are police everywhere. What am I going to do? I'm going to share the love of Christ and the truth. This baby who died tragically, horribly, in the worst possible kind of way, is in heaven. Are any of you going to be there? It's only going to be by the grace of God and following the gospel of God. Only God. I'm living to tell of it. You know, the truth of who he is. Being effective within the body of Christ so that it is revealed who you are. Are you willing to be teachable, eager to be teachable? Verse 13, until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man or complete to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I want you to know I'm still pursuing that. I ain't got there yet, but I'm going to keep pursuing the best I can. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried by every wind of doctrine. And I want you to know there's so much wind of doctrine and junk out there and trickery of men everywhere. And that's why we want to do our very best to stick to God's word verse by verse. You will not hear anything else here but that. On occasional, we'll do something special. We'll have a guest speaker. We'll do their own thing. But by and large, start reading the book of James, because guess who's going to go through it? Ellicott Calvary Chapel Church campus. We are going to do it, and we're going to have fun doing it. Don't be tossed about by the cunning craftiness and their deceitful plotting. But, I love this, learning how to witness, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. He's the head of the church, from whom the whole body, the body of believers, is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to every part, does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love, and how we grow and blossom into being the effective witness for Christ. The joy of it. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 86, please. Psalm 86. In a crucial time in my life, and I'm battling, I'm fearful of what the future might hold, I'm struggling in my walk with God, and I'm out hunting deer in upstate New York. And I knew of a swale area where some does and a few bucks would come to bed for night. And so I found a tree where I could oversee a certain portion of that swale and thought, come dusk, I'll be able to potentially get a nice buck. And I'm up there. And I got up there a couple hours ahead of time. I wanted to make sure that the wind was in the right direction. I wanted to make sure I didn't make any sounds and things like that. And I chose to take my little New Testament. And to tell you that I was in a dark place in my life, even though I was saved, it's just a reality. I was in a dark place. And it's just a little New Testament and Psalms, and I had no clue where to go to or what to do. And I decided to read some Psalms because I had heard that the Psalms are a good place to be. My eyes landed upon Psalm 86. And I want you to look at, starting at verse 6. It says, "Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me." And I began pleading and crying there, saying, God, I need you to hear me. I just don't know which way is up. I don't know. I just don't know where to go and what to do. And verse 8, "Among the gods, there are none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works." I paused and I said, yeah, I know that's true, but sure doesn't look at my life. Verse 9, "All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name." And part of me said, sure, right. Not knowing the end of the story, knowing the truth of what heaven is going to be like. Verse 10, "For you are great, and you do wonderful things. You alone are God." And I said, I really believe that. But Lord, help me in my unbelief. Help me in my darkness. Then notice verse 11. It says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." And I want you to know the Spirit of God within me broke me at that moment. And I said, God, that's what I want. I yearn for it. I long for it. I want to be teachable. I want to have my heart united with your heart in a profound way to where it's really evident with inside of me, let alone to those around me. I yearn to be committed to walk your way. That's what David's saying. I will walk. I want to. God chose to test me to see if that prayer of, and it wasn't until the next summer, I get laid off from a job again, which was a part of life for me. And it was laid off just in time for vacation Bible school. And I'm trying, but yet I'm still defeated. Not doing a whole lot, but I volunteered because now I'm free. I'll come and help with vacation Bible school. And they brought in these bunch of puppets and puppeteers. And I'm sitting in the back, and I'm doing the woe is me's. Not that you've ever done that. And I'm just saying, God, what am I doing? And I'll pop these little puppets, and they start lip-syncing to a salty song. Some of you might know it. "Make me a servant. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Oh, Lord, the prayer of my heart will always be, make me a servant, make me a servant." Ah, and in the middle of it is the thought of, make me a servant, make me a servant. And it escaped me. Lord, yeah, Lord, basically use me to help those who are weak. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And I began crying. My daughter has memorized it. I know that Rachel has too. We kind of did it the other day. And my question today is, where are you? That was the pivotal moment. By August, I'm off to school. Married with 4 kids. And here I am today, pastoring, enjoying, loving, meeting all of you, honored to be a part of this body of believers. And I know God's not done with me yet. I know I still need to grow. But where are you? I don't know all of you. Matter of fact, I had to ask Charles's name again this morning. I felt, dumb guy, I've asked him 3 times now, and I can't remember his name. And I know Larry's still Larry. You know? Where are you? Have you entered into God's grace and the wonder of salvation? That's the starting point. Trusting Christ alone. Seeking God and saying, forgive me, a sinner, and I trust your Son, Jesus Christ alone, as my Savior. And are you passionately pursuing that relationship and wanting to grow within the body of Christ? Because we are one, whether you want to be or not. We are one. And we can, through humility and the joy of God's Word and God's Spirit, be used tremendously and effectively here in Ellicott, to the surrounding areas, to where people will start coming to know Christ as Savior because of our testimony in Christ. And I want to be along with you and be a part of that in this great journey that God has called us to. And so as the worship team comes, let's stand and pray. There will be a prayer team up front if you would like to pray this morning to trust Christ or just make a commitment, I am going to become that teachable one to grow in my relationship, or I just want to get plugged in here as I continue growing. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, let's pray. Our Father and our God, I just thank you again for your word. I thank you for the wonder of it. Our character, our integrity is so vital. And you have given us everything that we need to grow more like our Savior. Father, as we consider these songs and consider your word, I pray that you would move in the hearts of your people here, really making a difference. Father, grow us in your grace. Unify us through that grace and use us dynamically for your glory, in your glory alone. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me, stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. And your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me and stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. And what can wash away our sins? What can us whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can wash us pure as snow, welcomed as the friends of God? Nothing but your blood, nothing but your blood, King Jesus. Your cross testifies in grace, tells of the Father's heart to make a way for us. Now boldly we approach, not earthly confidence, it's only by your blood. Your cross, it testifies in grace, tells of the Father's heart to make a way for us. Now boldly we approach, not earthly confidence, it's only by your blood. And what can wash away our sins? What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can wash us pure as snow, welcomed as the friends of God? Nothing but your blood, nothing but your blood, King Jesus. And what can wash away our sins? What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can wash us pure as snow, welcomed as the friends of God? Nothing but your blood, nothing but your blood, King Jesus. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when the sun shines in desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. And every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. And every blessing you pour out, I'll
turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Lord, would we go forth and bless your name as we live our lives? Would we be those faithful, available, and teachable Christians, Lord, that want to serve you and bless you and share your joy and your goodness and the things that you've done for us with others? And we trust you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.